This is Radio Superior 1941, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1941. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior State Teachers College and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the head of the lakes, station KUWS. Your friendly neighborhood announcer, Jack McKenna here. It's Wednesday, September 10th, 1941. Lou Martin is standing by with a 6 o'clock World News Roundup. Community editor Harriet Farag is in with the news of Superior's first woman attorney. And the draft board chairman will give a lecture on Americanism. I can't wait. Now the Fort Hopkins Tea Room 6 o'clock news. Get home-style food, including America's favorite dessert, fresh apple pie a la mode, for just 10 cents at Fort Hopkins Tea Room. Good evening, Lou.
Good evening, Jack, and good listeners. The Russian defense appears to be holding at Leningrad as the Nazis ponder changing their war tactics there. We begin our World Shortwave Radio Roundup with Max Jordan in Berlin.
This is the Third Reich. Max Jordan reporting. The German High Command may change from its successful blitzkrieg warfare and put Leningrad under a siege. German forces are reported to be within 15 miles of this vital port city. Although it has not cut off access from Lake Ladoga, Leningrad is, for all practical purposes, surrounded. German quarters here say they are considering shelling and starving Leningrad rather than undertake a costly storming of the beleaguered city. The Red Army is claiming to be routing German forces. The Nazis do admit that violence is increasing in intensity hour by hour and mile by mile as they approach Leningrad. German frontline dispatches admit that Leningrad's defenders were putting up a terrific battle and that the Russians are, quoting now, firing from all barrels. The area is an inferno of rifle, machine gun, and artillery fire, unquote. The German High Command says they have entrapped 1 million Red Army troops inside the old Tsarist capital and that the city was either doomed to surrender or death. On the Central Front, Nazi troops continue moving eastward in this 81-day-old conflict, capturing the key town of Vyazma, 130 miles west of Moscow. In Berlin, this is Max Jordan calling Norway.
This is Oslo, Lars Larsen, with the coverage from Norway. Since its surrender in June of 1940, Norwegians have been subject to German rule. Now that rule has become more severe. German Administrator Joseph Terboven has imposed martial law and a summary death sentence to all people who do not report to work. A general strike of factory and other workers here began yesterday. Workers simply say they will not report to their jobs. Administrator Terboven says any resistance in Oslo will be broken by armed force and that violence will be met by violence. He says it is essential that Norway collaborate with Europe's new order. The martial law decree forbids the sale of alcohol, imposes a 7 p.m. to 4 a.m. curfew, closes all restaurants at 6 o'clock, and forbids all public meetings or street gatherings. In Oslo, this is Lars Larsen, calling out to Washington, D.C.
Your commentator, DeWitt McKenzie, with The War Today. On the basis of somewhat suspicious signs, one is not too optimistic in believing that a real effort has been made during the past few days in the direction of an accord between the United States and Japan. There are grave differences which have arisen in Tokyo's expansionist policy. It would be folly to not recognize that war is skulking outside the doors of the Japanese council chambers where the midnight oil has been burning. The Tokyo government is in a tight and precarious position. The majority of the people of this island nation oppose war with America, but are unwilling to abandon the policy of a new order for Asia. Should the government, led by Premier Prince Kinoy, give up this sphere of prosperity program that has cost many lives in battle and left the country on grave economic straits, there certainly would be a mighty uproar from the public. Indeed, some believe it might even cause a revolt.
We have learned that Prince Kanoy is trying to work out some kind of compromise between the extremes of war with America and giving up their cherished new order. One part of that compromise could be Nippon cutting loose from the Axis Treaty. Such a switch may be startling, but there is precedence. Remember, only fools and dead men never change their minds. In Washington, with The War Today, this is DeWitt McKenzie.
Members of Congress are taking the U-boat attack on the United States destroyer Greer in stride. Both interventionists and isolationists say this should be expected with Lend-Lease, and the Navy patrolling what it considers neutral waters between the U.S. and Iceland. Senate Military Affairs Committee Chairman Robert Reynolds of North Carolina says the Greer was undamaged and was probably mistaken for a British warship. The American Legion is inviting the greatest hero of World War I to its annual state convention in Milwaukee. Convention Director Victor McKenzie says that they're inviting Sergeant Alvin York because he's an extremely devout man, which is this year's convention theme. The 54-year-old Alvin York still lives in his hometown of Pall Mall, Tennessee. KUWS News Time is 6:07. Jack McKenna has these words from Ford Hopkins Tea Room.
Indeed I have, Lou, and thank you. Here's good home-style food, folks. Man, is it tasty. Treat the family at Ford Hopkins, Thursday night from 5 to 8 p.m. Listen to this. T-bone steak dinner, grilled tender juicy T-bone steak, mushroom sauce, French fried potatoes, fresh vegetables, lettuce and tomato salad, hot roll and butter. Coffee, tea, or milk. Now you would expect to pay quite a bit for this meal. 40 cents. All up to 40 cents. And the roast turkey dinner for 35 cents. Young Tom Turkey, I knew him well. Sage dressing, cranberry sauce, French fried potatoes, fresh garden peas, clover leaf roll and butter. I'm getting awfully hungry here. Coffee, tea, or milk. America's favorite dessert, fresh apple pie a la mode, 10 cents. That's the Ford Hopkins Tea Room, folks, in the Telegram Building in Superior. Lou?
The third person to be convicted under the new state drunken driving law will be deprived of his license for a year. Judge Claude Cooper fined 26-year-old Otto Rose of Duluth $100 and the new penalty, revoking his driver's license and license plates for 1 year. Judge Archibald McKay sentenced two juveniles to indefinite parole today and sent another youth to the public school in Sparta, Wisconsin. The three stole $225 from the Bridgman ice cream store. The two paroled were 8 and 9 years old, while the other is 13. The boys created quite a stir when they went on a shopping spree last week with their loot. Freshmen at the University of Wisconsin are shunning the social sciences in favor of engineering and science. Our Capitol reporter John Powell has the story.
University Registrar Curtis Merriman says the shift in studies should be of no surprise. He says male students think they have a better chance of not being drafted if they enroll in these courses. Mr. Merriman also says an unusual trend of more women than men enrolling in the University of Wisconsin seems to be diminishing now that fall has come. The usual ratio is almost 2 men to every woman, but this summer that ratio was even among men and women. He says many men were waiting to see what their draft status was before enrolling. And once Congress set the draft age at 21 instead of 18, many went ahead and enrolled. In Madison, this is John Powell speaking.
There's growing activity along Ashland's waterfront. KUWS radio reporter Mike Simonson has that story.
Ashland Mayor Gus Johnson made the happy announcement today that the city's pulpwood industry would increase. Standing with City Council Ward Supervisor Ed Geese, the mayor says a Wisconsin firm will take over the now vacant John Schroeder Lumber Company on the waterfront. The city will welcome Consolidated Water, Power, and Paper Company, extending a lease to the company next week. The Ashland City Council also delayed issuing a liquor permit to Webben Drugstore. Third Ward Supervisor H.B. Stem pointed out that Tavern operators have a tough enough time without having to worry about competition from drugstores. Mr. Stem also says that the state law forbids taverns from selling aspirin, so he says it's only fair to forbid drugstores from selling liquor, Lou.
Well, thanks, Mike. The Beloit College football squad arrived on Madeline Island today for 10 days of preseason training. The 30 players and several coaches will stay at the old Mission Summer Resort. The resort was given to Beloit College last spring by the Edward Salmon family. A decorating job which has received wide acclaim is a painting of the American flag on Ashland's bandshell at Memorial Park on the Ashland Bayfront. The Knights of Pythias commissioned the Gundry Sign Company to paint the flag on the bandshell's dome. James Gundry and George Israelson drew and painted the flag. Throughout the summer, Ashland holds several band concerts, and now that the WPA has built new seats, the bandshell holds 500 people. And finally, Jack, this is your kind of a story. A huge bull escaped from butcher Hyman Weinstein's truck this afternoon and is still on the lam.
So to speak.
As of news time, police were still in hot pursuit of the bull, who faces the death penalty if caught.
Come to think of it, Lou, that big hairless dog outside in our parking lot looked pretty strange.
I'll be calling the police right now.
Maybe Hyman will give us a reward if we caught his bull. A nice juicy steak, maybe?
We'll let the police do the apprehending. Bulls are dangerous. They have horns, and they have hoofs that kick.
Heck, I petted it. He likes being scratched behind the ears. Come to think of it, he was quite the heavy breather. Thanks, Lou Martin. A newsman with no bull. Now the forecast, friends, for this Wednesday evening, September the 10th, 1941. Whoa! The National Weather Bureau says we could get frost tonight. Cover those tomato plants, folks. We could see a low temperature of 30 degrees overnight, with a high tomorrow of 58. Summer's gone, but hello, autumn. So what else can we play but Tommy Dorsey and his orchestra's big hit on the sunny side of the street on the Martin and McKenna Show?
Shade, get hip, don't be afraid, moving on over.
We've just enjoyed Tommy Dorsey and his orchestra on station KUWS. Hey, folks, got the gang coming over? Pick up a six-pack of Royal Crown Cola for just 25 cents at City Market. And with fall knocking on our door, it's bowling season again. Ekstrom's is your bowling shirt headquarters. A large selection to choose from, and lettered to your own ideas. Shirts $2.50 to $6.50. A phone call and Ekstrom's will send samples right to your door. Now, that's good service. Just for your enjoyment, we've got a new number from Artie Shaw and his orchestra. This is Dancing in the Dark on the Martin and McKenna Show. Artie Shaw's latest number, Dancing in the Dark, on station KUWS. Hiya, Lou.
My name isn't Lou.
Well, what did you do with Lou?
Lou who?
Our newsman. You know him.
I never listen to this radio station. Too much wild music. But if you're talking about that red-haired slacker in the break room, well, he's flirting with some gal.
Harriet is the only one who can make Lou lose track of time. So, gee, what a swell surprise to see you here, Mr. Raffley. Well, I remember your name anyway.
Well, as chairman of Douglas County Draft Board Number 2, you better, bub. I'm here on behalf of the VFW's nationwide effort to speak up for democracy. This is a radio campaign to wake up Joe and Jane Citizen to their responsibilities as Americans. Well, there's too much lollygagging and loud music distracting our young people today. And I don't even want to think about what these kids do when they park along Wisconsin Point after dark.
Dancing, that's all. They dance. Like the song we just finished playing by Artie Shaw.
Well, it's that suggestive music played by people like you who lead our young people down the road to moral ruin. So, starting tomorrow, and on the 11th day of every month hence, we're going to go on the radio to speak for democracy. Do you know why we picked the 11th day?
You closed your eyes and threw a dart at a calendar.
Smart Alex slackers would say that. It's because of Armistice Day. You know, the 11th. The 11th month. The 11th year. Or the 11th day of the 11th hour. Or the 11th was... The clock got close to midnight and well, then it was...
That's the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month.
Lou is my hero.
Yeah, it's that flirting newsman, huh?
I was doing no such thing.
I thought you were striking out. Anywho, tomorrow, I'll be by to talk about unity for victory. We may not be at war, people, but we better be ready. Look at the Ruskies. They waited too long, and now Hitler's knocking on Leningrad's door. Not that we have a soft spot for the Reds, but the president says we've got to beat those Nazis and support the commies as part of the plan. But that's all the more reason for our democracy.
Thank you, Mr. Joe Reffeley, chairman of the Douglas County Draft Board, number 2.
You're dismissing the old doughboy already? Can I stick around?
You may sit over there in the corner.
Good place for him. On with the music, friends.
Better not be any of that evil influence music, bub.
The name's McKenna. This is Kay Kaiser, and Who Wouldn't Love You on the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is what the commies were doing before the invasion, you know. They were dancing instead of drilling.
Who wouldn't love you? Who wouldn't care? You're so enchanting, people must stare. You're the dream that dreamers want to dream about. You're the breath of spring that lovers gad about or mad about. Who wouldn't love you? Who wouldn't buy the west side of heaven if you just winked your eye? You're the answer to my every prayer, darling. Who wouldn't love you? Who wouldn't care? You're the dream that dreamers want to dream about. You're the breath of spring that lovers gad about or mad about. Who wouldn't love you? Who wouldn't buy the west side of heaven if you wink your eye? You're the answer to my every prayer, my darling. Who wouldn't love you and who wouldn't care? Love you, who wouldn't care? You're so enchanting, people must stare. You're the answer to my every prayer, darling. Who wouldn't love you? Who wouldn't care?
We've just enjoyed the favorite commie dance tune, Who Wouldn't Love You? By Kay Kaiser and his orchestra on Station KUWS.
I'd like to introduce Community Editor Harriet Feurig. It's wonderful to see you again.
You just saw her a couple of minutes ago. Get a date.
Oh, it's you. Really?
What is that for?
Oh, you know very well what that's for. I'm talking about today's fire drill at Itasca School.
Hey, I saw you there. Wasn't that great? I sure was proud of those tykes. You two bubs should have been there. Fire Chief Jim Sweeney says we set a city record by getting everybody out of the building in 25 seconds after the fire alarm went off.
Really?
Really. 50 students, one principal, and 3 teachers out the door in 25 seconds flat. We beat St. Adalbert's School by 5 whole seconds and St. Francis School by 10 seconds.
Really?
Yes, really. I was asked to come and speak to the kids, and well, when I heard they were having a fire drill, well, I don't want to take all the credit, but let's just say I motivated the boys and girls.
Motivated?
Is it just me, or is this room suddenly chilly?
Well, scaring the of little boys and girls with stories about how they better run for their lives or be like the English children who are bombed and their schools blown up. Really, Mr. Raffley?
Really?
Well, it may very well save their little lives one day, Missy.
But good heavens, you made the kindergartners cry.
Really?
Well, you never know. It could happen here.
The poor Dickens were scared.
Ah, the sixth-grade boys seemed like they liked it.
Well, I never. I've got important news now, sir. Plans for this year's Superior Women's Club program are moving forward following a meeting at the YMCA Tuesday. Highlights will be discussed by outstanding speakers. The first speaker is New York City radio commentator and world traveler John Williams Hughes at their December meeting. The game room at Carpenter School is open. Recreation Director Joseph Lisinski says activities begin at 3:30 on weekdays and 9 o'clock Saturday mornings. They have such fun games as table tennis, chess, checkers, and other table games. Mr. Lisinski says they'll even have a puppet workshop Monday and Wednesdays at 6:30. Such fun for the boys and girls.
Well, all I was doing was trying to help Miss Farig.
Really? Well, ladies, one of Superior's most eligible bachelors has been grabbed. The son of Reverend and Mrs. Andrew Bow, Paul Bow, married Miss Carol Jane Brenny, daughter of Reverend and Mrs. Omar Brenny of Spicer, Minnesota. Carol Jane was lovely, adorned in her mother's white satin wedding dress. Her headdress had white ostrich tips, and she carried a prayer book tied with streamers of lilies of the valley. And the most exciting news, girls, is that finally we have one of our own as an attorney in Superior. Clarice Moreland has joined her brother at the firm of Moreland & Moreland at the Evening Telegram building. Clarice is an honors graduate of the Wisconsin School of Law, class of 33. She practiced law for 2 years in Hayward and has spent the last years as administrator of the WPA program in Ashland. Welcome, Clarice Moreland, and good luck. Now, it's best you play some music, Jack.
Really?
Really?
A guy could get frostbite in here.
Let's warm things up then, folks. How about this number from the 1937 hit parade? This is Tommy Dorsey, old TD and his Clam Bake 7, with the music goes round and round on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Christmas chorus, and we want you all to join in lightly on this last refrain.
Oh, I'd blow through here. The music goes round and around. Whoa, 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 whoa. And it comes up here. Now you push the first valve down. The music goes down and around. Whoa, 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 whoa. And it comes up here. Now push that middle valve down. Hear the music go down and around. Below, below, below. Whoa, 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 whoa. Listen to the jazz come out. Music goes round and around, whoa, 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 and it comes up here.
Hey, 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 that's a hot one, folks. Tommy Dorsey and his Clam Bake 7 on Station KUWS. So, Lou, I see Raffley is still here.
Yes, and with hat in hand to Harriet.
Sorry, I am.
Sounds like a backwards way of saying, I'm really sorry.
Well, I suppose you had the best intentions, but when you yelled, the last one out is a goner, really.
You yelled that to little kids?
For shame.
Well, I could make it up to the boys and girls. I could bring back the stuff we captured from the Hun in the Argonne back in 18. I mean, I got some really neat gas masks and a Kraut helmet and a Kraut knife.
Oh,
and...
my word, Mr. Raffley!
You're getting colder, Joe.
Well, how about a VFW-sponsored, good old-fashioned tug-of-war?
Oh, war, war, war. That's all these young ones hear about these days.
Definitely colder.
Downright freezing. I can't wait for his next suggestion.
I've got it. We'll have an Itasca school days. All the boys from the VFW will come over, and we'll cook hot dogs, and we'll have games, nice games, and we'll watch our language and everything.
Well, that sounds wonderful. We could have sack races and egg tosses and bobbing for apples.
I tried that bobbing for apple thing once. I got hurt pretty bad. Lots of head injuries.
Which apparently are oftentimes permanent.
Oh, well, another happy ending on the Martin and McKenna Show. Stay tuned for Grand Central Station, Millions for Defense, Glenn Miller and his orchestra, and Amos and Andy. We'll be back, same time, same place on your radio dial, the good Lord willing, and Mr. Raffley doesn't make us do a fire drill. For Lou Martin and the gang, then, this is Jack McKenna, wishing one and all a good night.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1941, an original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Harriet Farrig is played by Jennifer Simonson. Other performances by Duke Scourge, Tom Martinson. All events reported on Radio Superior 1941 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week at this time for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.